complaints and concerns, and what does it matter that he also happens to be checking out their breasts and rear ends? He's hearing them. He's listening to them. So it's wrong to say that he's sexually harassing them. He's listening to everything they're saying. He's just scoping them up and down. All right, so I just thought I'd tell you what you missed yesterday. If you were at the fireworks or if you were sitting around by, say, 9 o'clock, just completely inebriated, while your kids were, you know, lighting incendiary devices. Speaking of that, I was at a friend's house last night. We were at the beach. Where I live, it's a war zone every July 4th. Just a war zone. And I mean it. In quite a literal sense. First of all, I live right near the Ventura County Naval Base. There's a lot of military families. Not that I'm saying that they are violators of the law, but let's just put it this way. You know that area of Pakistan that they say is beyond the law? In other words, the Pakistani troops will go in there if they absolutely have to, right? It's kind of like where I live. The Ventura County cops will go there if they gotta, but most of the time they just, we don't want to go down there, no. So anyway, a friend of mine, this guy's got a deck on the roof of his house. You can go up into the top of this and you can see the fireworks from just about everywhere. We could see them up at Ventura Harbor, everywhere. All of a sudden, one of my neighbors shoots off a military issue flare. Just boom! You know, these things that sit in the air and they're red and they glow for 30 seconds? It was something else. I was looking at this thing. He just goes up in the air and just sits there and it's red. Now, we look at that and we're all agog and aghast. And meanwhile, all through the neighborhood, there's bottle rockets going off. There's just private fireworks displays in guys' backyards. I mean, you know, look down here. There's a beautiful sort of a clover leaf. You know, over here is the red, white, and blue. And then there's the official one. Who wants to go down there, man? I like everywhere, all around me. So we cut down off this deck, and sure enough, there's two Ventura County cops. One of them, huge, huge guy. And he's proceeding to talk to the owner of the house and say, all we know is, sir, let me just establish at this particular time, we saw this thing go up in the air. And I said to the cop, I said, officer, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on in this neighborhood. He goes, yeah, but when it happens right in front of me, he says, we were going down the street here, man. Just, most of this stuff we'll ignore until, like, you know, about 9, 10 o'clock. And then they roll the fire trucks through. So that's, like I said, it's just like that Pakistani, that sort of area, that tribal area. So what they do at about 10 o'clock at night, after all the natives have had their rituals, they start rolling the fire trucks, the hook and ladders, and the black and whites through the neighborhood. And, of course, the other thing that some people get off on, I don't. Are you into, like, loud noise, loud banging noises? Like, hey, I got a quarter of a stick of dynamite. Watch this. You know, shock and awe. That's cool, like, the first time, man. But then after a while, it's, like, nerve-wracking. Guys are lighting them off, just throwing them in the street. I mean, what happened to, like, the really cool-looking colors and stuff? You know, I don't mind the safe and sane stuff. It's, you know, I like the little fountains. Those strobe things that spin around, those are good. I like those sparklers are fun. I like to run down the street and write my name with them and everything. But I got all these friends who, and this one guy lit something, threw it in the street, took about 5 pounds of asphalt right out of the street. I go, what was that? He goes, I don't know. I just found it in my pocket. What? What'd you just light there, man? I'm not sure. I got a handful of them here. Where are you guys getting these things? Then I look down the street. The same guy that shot off the big flare. Now down the street, I see what I can only describe as one of those landing zone flares they use in combat. You know, in other words, if it's red, don't land, or it's very dangerous. If it's green, you can land. But it's a big, bright green or red or yellow flare. And he had a red one. And you swear to God, the whole everything down the street was on fire. This thing is... He lit it just at... And there's a huge U-turn near my house. You go down near the beach, then you make a big, wide, sweeping U-turn around the house. You go back down toward the harbor. I see this guy light this thing, and I see a fire truck going that way. It's on its way down there. It's just as bright as it looked like daylight. I mean, that's how bright it was. So I don't know where you guys enjoyed your fireworks, but you really ought to come to my neck of the woods because it's free. Just stand on someone's driveway, and you'll see something. You might see your car go up, but that's the other thing. When you guys are throwing those flashers, those strobes, all that stuff, try not to roll it under my car. Thank you. Got lights that just, hey, look at that. You know, that's under my car. Oh, really? By the way, we're looking at the new, on tonight's show, we're going to have Art Griego from the North American Aviation Retired Professionals Association. These are a group of guys that believe that flying should become, or they're promoting it as a viable sport, a recreational sport. And since baseball is beginning to wane in popularity, they feel that baseball diamonds and public parks are taking up a lot of space. And that they could easily use those for aviation facilities. As a matter of fact, aviation is superior to baseball because it takes more guts to fly a plane than to play baseball. So that's what we're going to do there. And then we're also going to have on our program tonight, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Speaking of fireworks, there has been an inordinate rise in the use of fireworks. Has this got something to do with the Iraq War? Are people bolder with their fireworks because they figure, you know what, I'm just going to I think I'll just go out and just blow stuff up. What are you going to do about it, peace creep? So that's coming up tonight. Our flashback by request in just a couple of minutes. I just saw on TV for the 18th night in a row, there is Mr. and Mrs. Twitty, I think, is Natalie Holloway's parents. They're there. Now, I don't mind seeing them. I think that they obviously want to keep this story alive. But Greta is in Aruba. Maybe you'd like to do a little bit of work there, Greta, instead of just, well, I want you guys to come on tonight. That'll give me about 15 minutes, and then I'll head on over to the steakhouse. And the husband is a guy by the name of George Twitty. But about 2 days into his television gig, he said to them, my nickname is Jug. Could you just go ahead and go with that, please? Jug? Yes. Okay, Jug, right. Can I ask you something, mister? Your name is George Jug Twitty, right? Yes, that's correct. You wouldn't be from Alabama, would you? How'd you guess? It took a big, wild leap. He's going to sub-host for her? Bull crap. Yeah, Jug Twitty tomorrow, sub-hosting for Greta while she gets a wax job or something, while she goes out and gets her eyelids tanned. Now, let me get George Jug Twitty. I happen to be from Alabama. No. Really? All right, so they only got one guy left in custody, and that's that Van Slut kid, so he's going to cook. All the other guys had an alibi, but Van Sloot, or whatever his name is, he'll die slow, and he'll die good. The death penalty in Aruba, man, they don't have no gas chamber or anything. They just throw you right into they throw you into a slough where there's a large bunch of sharks. You are now hereby committed to die by execution. Yes, sir. All right, push him in. Big freaking shark tank. All right, and L.A. Times today has a story about Cordis Slim, and they quote me, or they don't quote me, but they mentioned me and Danny Bonaducci is enthusiastically supporting Cordis Slim as they write this whole story about how supposedly it's not good stuff. Just want you to know, Cordis Slim's fantastic. It works. Who cares what the FTA and the FDA say? What do they know? I'm serious. What do they know? First of all, it ain't a drug. Cordis Slim ain't a drug. It's an all-natural supplement. That's number one. And number two, all you medical doctors out there that find your business slowly going away because herbal remedies, because alternative medicines, because homeopathic cures are cutting into your ability to just prescribe willy-nilly drugs. Some of you guys haven't hit a medical journal in years. I'm sorry if it's like cutting into your business, but all your pals at the FDA and the FTC that you call up on the phone or you do through the AMA, I mean, what are you guys trying to put all these legitimate guys out of business because you guys are quacks? That's the thing about the medical business. Half those guys, that's the whole reason why they lean on guys like Cordis Slim. The medical guys are losing business. Period. More and more people. Who out there hasn't been to a chiropractor? You been to a chiropractor? You're a liar. Bud, have you been to one?
No.
You're lying too. David?
No.
You're all liars. Who hasn't been to a witch doctor? Come on. Yeah, all right. Who hasn't been to a Haitian voodoo queen? Come on. Yeah, I have. I know. I know a lot of you have. Who hasn't gone over to the voodoo queen down there in, on 3rd Street and gotten some of that gree-gree, man, and rubbed it all over your you-know-what to see if the ladies will come? Right? You got it. We're done with that now. Voodoo, witch doctors, rolling the bones, skulls, some dude with a bone through his nose, some cat with a fright wig. We are into that, and we are less and less relying upon medical doctors because they can't cure anything. I got a guy down the street from me. He wears a derby hat and a bone through his nose. We go out back. He kind of waves some chicken legs over my head. I feel great. The hell, man, I don't need penicillin. So what happens is the FDA and the FTC, why don't you cats go after the witch that goes, that guy's rubbing bones on my head. Rubbing his bone on my what? Bud, don't you laugh.
Well, you said it.
They ought to be going after those Haitian voodoo queens down in Miami. Spilling the chicken blood and all that stuff. What about that guy that was rubbing them chicken bones over his baseball bat?
Said it again.
What did I say, man? I didn't say anything. I'll kill you, bud. But then I can bring you back to life. 1-800-449-8686. The flashback request coming up. And we'll also have Art Griego back. Art is a pilot, a retired commercial pilot, who is trying to promote aviation as a sport. And there's not a lot of room for sports. We're really, I guess you'd say that we're sort of maxed out in terms of space in the urban areas. But who's playing baseball anymore? So why not use those areas to land and take airplanes off from? In fact, it may seem small, but according to Art, a good pilot can take a plane off in less than 300 feet. You can just get that thing, you know, you got to be good, but you can get that thing off the ground. Time now for our buy request flashback here on the Phil Henry Show. And this is from Rob. It says, Phil, I love your show so much. My wife tells me I look like a vampire because I stay up so late listening. I want you to play a flashback from last fall when somebody was driving around town yelling at people with a bullhorn because they still had John Kerry bumper stickers on their car. That was Larry Grover of the Conservatives of Kern County, who was on his horn screaming at people with the John Kerry stickers, even though the election was over. It made me laugh my ass off. Thanks for playing it, Phil. Rob, here it is.
Hey, Larry, this is Rhonda. I'm in Las Vegas, and a couple of points. First of all, I'm a diehard Bush supporter. Excuse me, sir.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
At least do a courtesy and show a little respect.
Yes, ma'am,
here.
I'm listening to you. It's just feedback from the bullhorn. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, a little bit of respect. I am a Bush. Excuse me. I am a Bush supporter.
Just turn it off,
he
Ted.
I'm trying to turn it off. Hold on.
Turn it off, man.
This guy's unbelievable.
It's off.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Show a little respect here. I am a diehard Bush supporter. That is my president. I support every action in regards to the war, in regards to terrorism and everything else that he has done. And I am ashamed to have you as part of my party, and I guarantee you my president would not condone your actions of retribution.
Very well
said. And if a crazy person followed me down a highway, flashing their lights and flipping me off, you are damn straight I would go straight to a police station. I'm a human being. Show me some damn respect.
I'm not going to do anything to you, Rhonda. You're a Bush supporter, and you're not a Kerry supporter, so stupid you got the sticker on the car.
But why does
that
person...
That's right, but there's a better way to act like that. I'm ashamed to have you as part of my party.
All right, well, what's wrong with what we're doing tonight?
My president probably would be ashamed to have you doing this.
All right, but in his name.
Right, how dare you embarrass us this way?
Well, hold on. Let's say everything you're saying is correct, all right? Let's say we don't follow women down the road anymore. What's wrong with
not
the bullhorn?
Not just women, people, anyone.
What's wrong with the bullhorn?
Let me tell you something. I'm 36 years old, too, sir. And I can find a better way to fight stupidity and support for Kerry other than to stooping to their level and acting like an idiot.
Ted, I want to say something to you. The last time I pulled stuff like this, I was like 16.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, so here we go. Now I'm being juvenile. Is that it?
I'm sorry, but you are. I'm ashamed. That I'm embarrassed. And I bet you if Mr. Bush were to hear this, our wonderful president,
when can a man have a little bit
ashamed.
Of fun in this world? After 3 years of trying to get this man reelected, President Bush, a man that we all
it
love.
It scares me that you think it's fun to scare other people.
I'm not scaring him. I'm just, look, here comes a guy here. Hold on.
But
just
you
a minute.
Are
Don't
scaring
do it.
Hold on. Here, you're
Whether
gonna love
you
this.
Want to admit that or not, you are scaring them.
Hold on. This is some old guy. Look at this.
Unbelievable. And that right there shows the amount of respect he has for himself or any other human being.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I'm ashamed.
You're scaring some old guy.
I am truly ashamed, and there's a better way to fight politics than to be as nasty as this.
But, Rhonda, these Kerry people wanted our president dead from cyanide poisoning.
Oh, come on.
You are way far down a road making way too many assumptions.
No, you know.
There may have been some idiot out there that spoke those type of words, but that doesn't mean every supporter out there agrees.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you're a much better person than me. You're more forgiving than me. These Kerry supporters, I think we ought to make them bleed, and I mean bleed from every hole, because...
Would you watch your language?
Oh, my goodness. I'm ashamed, and I bet my president is ashamed.
All right, there you go. Who is this, bud?
It's Dr. Walgren, and he's got...
Dr. Walgren, sir, how are you?
Very well, Phil. Thank you very much for having me on your program for this segment of Dr. Walgren Explains It All.
Hold on for a minute, doctor. Who is this guy?
I told him he could have a segment.
Could you hold on for a moment, doctor?
I'd be more than happy to, Phil.
What do you mean you told him he could have a segment? Who do you think you are?
Didn't you say you wanted to have a medical segment?
No, I didn't say I wanted to have a medical segment. I said I wish I could buy medical marijuana.
Aha! I told you! See, I knew you were going to say that.
Who is this guy?
It's a medical segment.
Doctor, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, Phil.
What are we going to talk about here, as long as I have you on the air?
Bud told me that I would be on the program to explain different things in science. And that, were you not expecting me?
No, sir, I was not.
It's okay, Doc.
I'll deal with you later. Okay, Doc, what do you want to explain?
Well, tonight, Phil, we're going to explain here on Dr. Walgren Explains It All, how does ice melt? Now, Phil, we all know what ice is. We've seen it. It's in our refrigerator, in the freezer, and we put it in our drinks. But how does it melt once it comes out of the freezer? Well, we don't really know, and that's the interesting thing about how ice melts. We'll be back after this word from Cortislim. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Walgren.
Oh, whoa, hold on for a minute.
What?
What did you do, bud?
All I know is I bought time on your program.
Yeah, I sold about 10-minute block of time. What are you all tightened up about?
What are you good off selling to?
Can I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, Cortislim's great, despite what the L.A. Times says, because the L.A. Times is very predominated by homosexuals, so obviously they're not going to want anything that's, you know, too out there. They're already a little out there themselves. By the way, Michael Kinsley and I, is his name Kinsley?
I don't know. Who is Kingsley?
Kingsley, yeah. He and I had a relationship. So in any event, what I'd like to say, Phil, ice melts, but we don't know why. We only know...
Will you get him out of here? Hi, I'm for Cortislim, and how does ice melt? 1-800-449-8686. Yes, sir?
To comment on the... Your gentleman told me I could talk about Mr. Benedicki, who got fired from Star Radio.
Well, now we're on a national show, so let me update people. Danny Bonaducci, is that who you mean?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Bonaducci was let go on Friday by a local radio station. Mr. Bonaducci, many of the national listeners know from his radio shows, his television shows, is going back many years.
Yes, sir. And I will tell you that I was a very big fan of his. I thought he was glib. I thought he was very, very enjoyable. My wife and I enjoyed it very deeply. I put a call into the general manager of the radio station because it is my opinion, sir, that the young lady that Mr. Bonaducci. Yes, sir. This Jamie White. Are you familiar, sir?
Yes, sir. That was his partner.
Are you also familiar that she is now on her third set of partners at that radio station, sir?
Yes, sir, I would be aware of that. I'm professionally aware, yeah. Wasn't she with...
She was with Frosty, Heidi, and someone else. Frosty, she was with... Well, she had a lesbian... I think she had a lesbian friend.
No, it was Frosty and Frank, right?
Yes, sir. Then Mr. Bonaducci, and now she's got some other people. And I would say to you, because I really enjoyed Mr. Bonaducci, that she is a backstabbing whore. And excuse me for saying that, sir.
That is pretty rough.
Well, sir, I'm very, very, I am very angry.
You don't even know her personally, and it's pretty rough.
Well, really, how is it that that woman, in the span of 6 years, goes through three... hold on for a minute. Get the nitroglycerin, yeah. How is it that that woman goes through three sets of partners in the span of 6 years?
I would say that it's showbiz.
Well, there's one constant, and it's that woman who would take a very finely edged razor, jail-made, and stick it right into your medulla oblongata, right at the base of your skull. And I find it very...
You're angry, huh?
Yes, sir, I'm very angry. Those of us who enjoyed Mr. Bonaducci all the way back to the Partridge family, and he was on the radio, and that buck-tooth bitch who...
All right, I'm going to hang up if this continues.
If what continues, sir?
You are personally degrading the woman's looks. All you got to do is talk about what it is...
She is, sir, she would take a ice pick and sink it slowly and deeply right into the base of your skull, like that guy at Goodfellas. You remember the guy? Remember Mo, the guy with the toupee?
What the hell are you talking about?
You didn't see Goodfellas.
Yes, I did.
That's what she'd do. Don't ever go to lunch with her and say, "You go ahead and sit in back, Jamie. I don't mind taking one right to the base of my skull." Freaking whore.
Sir, I will not abide. Did he hang up?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. I don't care. I got my own problems, baby. Sorry to hear about your gig, Danny, but you know what? It's a cold world, blood. Ain't that what you write on the walls up there? We all got to live, and, you know, he's doing fine. That cat's on television, baby. He don't need radio. The guy's got a TV gig. Huh? And he got one of them TV, got a VH1 gig. I don't plan on being around much longer, I'll tell you that. 1-800-449-8686. In fact, I the other day I was talking to my wife, and I said, "Baby, I'd like you to write my story because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here." And she's all, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, I'm just kidding, but it sounds dramatic, doesn't it? I'd like you to write my story, tell the people who I was and what I did and how I was able to achieve it. All right, darling, please, just do that for me. Just please do that for me in lieu of alimony. And I would... You can keep the royalties." All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tonight it's Jay Santos and Art Griego here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk a little bit about fireworks and what they represent. And we'll have Art Griego on, who is a flight enthusiast. And yesterday, as I mentioned, I wasn't really in the mood to party at all yesterday. It's been just kind of a tough time for me. But there's my neighbors on the street. "Hey, Henry, get out of here. We're going to call the police. Tell them there's a big party going to your house." So I went down there. Forced myself to have a couple of shots of tequila, then maybe a couple more. But it's a crazy place, man. I would highly recommend it. Now, the other thing about Fourth of July is, I was just reading this book. You know that we wouldn't have the Fourth of July if it wasn't. Everything in life is like a commercial. Do you know who promoted the Fourth of July? Who promoted it big time? Really wanted it to be on the map as a celebration. The guy that wrote the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson. He wanted everybody to know that he wrote it, and he wanted everyone to remember, and he wanted to make sure it was a big holiday. It was part of the politics when this cat was president. He said, "You know, I think a really good holiday would be the 4th of July. I, after all, did write the Declaration." Why, that's a splendid idea, Mr. President. Next thing you know, he's sponsoring parades, and we wouldn't have it today if it wasn't his self-promotion. So the next time you see an infomercial, don't get so bent out of shape. The 4th of July is one big fat infomercial for Thomas Jefferson. So I was out there yesterday and enjoying, the festivities and stuff. Of course, everybody's got their barbecue going. And everyone brings over food. You know, a guy will bring over like a thing of chili, and then somebody brings over like a turkey. This is the way this street is. This is an old school street. Like I was telling you guys a while back, my kids don't know from a street like this. My kids grew up on streets that had gates at the end of them. Or if they grew up on a street that didn't have a gate at the end of it, they grew up in very insular streets, modern-day suburbia where people don't really know each other all that much. The richer you get, the less you want to know your neighbors. Because the bigger your property is, and the bigger your property is, you don't need to know your neighbors. In fact, the wealthier you get, the less you want neighbors. Rich guys don't move. Boy, let's move somewhere where there's a million houses right on top of each other. I don't care what they tell you about how it was great to grow up in a street like that. I knew when I was a kid growing up, I didn't know any other kind of neighborhood. You know, it was a neighborhood where we had block parties. you know, the neighbors would put the deck chairs out in the middle of the street, and somebody got a barbecue going. I knew those kinds of neighborhoods. Well, you'd hop the fence to the other kid's house, and you'd go play in his yard, right? I mean, my kids wouldn't know how to hop a fence. They don't even know what hop a fence means. They think hop a fence is the name of either a dealer, a rap artist, or it's something that you do to your arm with, you know, tying it off with, like, a piece of rubber hose. But you sure as hell don't hop a fence to do anything, you know, like to go over to a friend's house. So they grew up on these streets. And I'm trying to tell them how cool that is. I'm like, yeah, right, sure. So how come it is every time cats make money, man, they want to move out of that, they want to move to a place where there's nothing but, like, 18 acres? It's because man's normal drive is to get away from human beings. What is this stuff about us being social animals, anyway? The normal instinct of the human being is to get away from other human beings as far as he can. You got a bigger car, and it puts you further away not only from the guy in the car next to you, it puts you further away from your wife sitting shotgun. You get a bigger house, not only puts you further away from your neighbors, but hell, you got your own little room here, and you got to walk 18 miles to the other wing. And now, of course, if you can't have bread and you can't have a big house, you can have the illusion of a big house. There's some houses for sale around me that are on a lot about the size of a, you know, a basketball court, but they're 14 stories high, and they have wings.
This is the children's wing here, and,
yeah, and it's just like 3 feet from the bathroom. Well, got a door there, and the hallway's like 2 feet long. No, it's this the mansionizing thing. So if you can't have the real distance, you got the illusion of the distance. But nonetheless, the natural instinct of human beings is not to get together into a society. It's to get as far away from each other as we can possibly get. Big house, lots of property, big car, big gates, keep them out. And there isn't anybody listening to me right now or anybody out there that doesn't want it either. Don't give me that. The minute you make a lot of jack, you sure as hell ain't moving into a little tiny dinky house. Unless it's right on the beach. Which brings me to my next point. What's it with you guys out there with that private beach? I'm starting to really lose my patience now. There ain't no private beach in California. I was, where was I? Oh, yeah, we were in Laguna, it's down in Laguna Beach. And the guy says, well, you know, that's all private down there. I said, there's no private beach in the state of California. I don't know about the rest of the country. All I know is there ain't no private beach here, and there ain't no movie stars that have private damn sand either. So a guy told me that he got thrown off of a beach the other day. This is the middle of summer. I am telling you, if it doesn't start this summer, I don't know when it's going to start. Get your damn six-pack of beer, whatever it is. Go out onto that beach. Go ahead, take the ticket from the cop. And stick your butt right out there in the Trancas or wherever you want and park it and have yourself a picnic and go body surfing and bring your boogie board and bring your wakeboard and bring it all, man. Sit on there and have yourself a day. Now, the minute some guy rolls up to you on a three-wheel ATV with a Citizens Auxiliary Police badge on, tell him to go pound sand. And when a cat says, well, you know, I'm going to have to go get a cop, tell him, yes, please do get a cop. I want to talk to a cop. Even if you got alcohol on you, all it is a ticket. I know I had to go in for it. I had to go to court for it because I was late that one time. It's worth it. The cop will let you stay there, but it'll give you the ticket for drinking. It doesn't make any sense, man. I'm coming off of the freeway the other day. Santa Monica Beach out here, folks, if you've seen the pictures of Santa Monica Beach, you might as well be in the middle of, you know, it's like, you might as well be in the middle of a Hindu bazaar, man, on the Ganges River or something. Just, you know, freaking diapers and this and that. And they're just doing twists and flips to get out onto that Santa Monica Beach where there isn't enough room, man, to turn around. There isn't enough room to scratch your armpit. Okay? Why do that? Go down the beach to the Trancas where everybody says it's private. Stick your rear end out there, man. It ain't against the law, I'm telling you right now. I'll pay the fine of anybody. Phil Hendry will pay the fine of anyone who gets popped for sitting on a private beach. What am I saying? If they actually do have a fine, then maybe it is illegal.
Well, what an idiot.
Nah, that's bullcrap. I'll pay it because you won't have to pay it. That's why I can say I'll pay it. There ain't going to be no fine. You get fined for being on a private beach anywhere? I want to find out about it. I'll pay for it. So just so it doesn't surpass $50. 1-800-449-8686.
Big deal.
That's, well, at least I'm paying for it. Phil Hendry Show.
Monument Police, or not Monument, but Park Police out there.
All right, I'm talking to a caller. You were in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, is my understanding, and you guys were where, at the Washington Monument?
We were at the Washington, yeah, Toby Bowe is a friend of mine, and first of all, we were down there for, they had a couple of free concerts, American Folk Festival, and also some free, they had a couple of free concerts, American Folk Festival, and they had a couple of demonstrations, drum demonstrations, and I'm a drummer, so I took part in some drum demonstrations. On the bongo drums, basically. I'm mostly a drummer. You know, I have a drum kit. I'm in a band, but I do enjoy, I relax with bongos. And
you relax with bongos?
Yeah. What, is that queer or something?
No, it's not queer. I didn't even use that word. Did I? So what did you say happened?
Well, what happened was this. I was laying on the grass, and my friend took a photograph. I was laying on the grass at the Capitol Mall.
Okay.
And Mr. Bowe took a photograph that I didn't know about, and he mailed it to some friends of mine, and I'm calling in to see if you'd think Bill Handel would be interested in it as a slander case, because...
What do you mean a slander case? What was the photograph?
I was laying on the grass on my back on the Capitol Mall.
So?
Well, I don't know if I'm able to say...
You're laying on your back on the grass in the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. At one end is the Capitol building, but at the other end is the Washington Monument. So if you're down ground level and a guy's laying on the grass and your friend positions the camera in such a way as the Washington Monument looks like it's coming out of your slacks.
That's what he did?
Yes, sir.
Why is that slander?
Well, it's not technically slander. I mean, it's actually a compliment, but it's...
No, come on, man. Be serious.
Well, I'm just saying, man. It's insulting to have a guy circulating a photo like that. And so that's why I wondered if Handel on the law...
Call him up, man, and find out. Hi, yeah, I was laying on my back, and my friend took a picture of me, and the Washington Monument looks like it's coming out of my slacks. Can I sue for slander? 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And coming up, we, of course, have Jay Sanos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Art Griego from the North American Aviation Enthusiasts Organization or something. The guy wants to have, you know, aviation. He wants to really make that thing happen, baby. Our web address is www.philhendryshow.com, and our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. I've got such a rich, full life that I spent Saturday and almost Saturday night. Guess what I did Saturday and Saturday night? Answering listener email here in the office. That's how just rich and full of activity my life is. I'm sitting at home and I got my hands behind my head and I've just finished another bag of Oreos.